The wisdom of experts can change your life. As a co-chair at the University of Texas, you've attained this elite status from growing and evolving over the course of your coaching career.
In our Learning from Experts podcast, exclusively for the head coaches here at the University of Texas, we're going to accelerate that process. You'll hear from world-class coaches, sports psychologists, and successful people.
And occasionally, it's the wisdom that impacts other areas of your life, like your health or your marriage. But here's something really important to appreciate: timing. Hearing something at exactly the right time makes all the difference.
Sometimes it's repetition, hearing a concept multiple times until it resonates with you.
So buckle up. This week's Learning from the Experts is about to begin.
Hey, coaches, John Mitchell here. Hey, I hope you're doing well. So this week, we're going to hear from a mindset expert in sports. So just think about this. Your success in life, as well as your enjoyment of life, comes down to the thoughts that are going on in your head most of the time. Just think about that. Would you agree with that? If so, you're going to really like this interview. So many coaches want to up the mental side of the game for their team, but just don't know how. This astute psychologist does a great job of making mindset simpler. Listen for how she talks about how her teams visualize together what they want to make happen that day in practice or in the game. This normalizes working on mindset. Also listen for how to reset one's mental routine after a mistake. Boy, this is really interesting. And finally, listen for how to control self-talk. 80% of people have a negative inner voice. Don't you find that amazing? 80% of people have a negative inner voice. So you have to override that. Then after the content on mindset, we're going to hear from John Gordon on the power of choices. We have more control over our lives than we think, and it comes down to choices. You'll find this interview interesting. And here's the essence of what you'll learn this week. Hey, life is a state of mind. Therefore, you have to control and influence your daily state of mind by making the right choices. So let's get rolling and learn a thing or two about mindset. And remember, as a coach here at the University of Texas, hey, you're living the dream.
Welcome to the Wave Champions podcast. I'm your host, John O'Sullivan. Every week, we connect you with the top minds in the world of sports, coaching, leadership, and building championship programs so you can take your athletes and your teams to the next level.
Now, our amazing guest, Lindsey Wilson, Positive Performance Training, host of the Inner Game podcast. You can find her on Instagram, Lindsey Positive Perform. And she was back with us in episode 112. She is so incredible. We had to have her back on. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about Lindsey, an incredible athlete and an All-American basketball player at Iowa State, a WNBA draft pick, a professional player for many years. And now she's not only a mindset and an inner game coach for some top teams and top athletes, but what I love about her is her goal is to help coaches at every level not be intimidated by helping their athletes with the mental game. As she says, she wants you to move from, I don't know how to do this mindset stuff, to, okay, it's not perfect, but I can do this. Because I think we all know that the biggest frustration we often have with our athletes is not being able to reach them when they're struggling mentally. And so often we're picking up the pieces when things mentally fall apart, when players lose confidence, when they lose the trust of their teammates. And yet it's also the most rewarding thing that we do when we see a kid who goes through a hard time and they struggle and then they work hard and they overcome that. That's what coaching is all about. But so much of that is mental. So how do we actually sit down and help a kid or help an entire team with their mindset and with the inner game? So you're going to love what we talk about today. And if you like what you hear, what's also really cool is Lindsay has this free coaching toolkit, the link's in the show notes, and it's a little course that includes things like a guided visualization script and more. Now, full disclosure, I've known Lindsay many years. I love her stuff. I actually used her Braver pregame breathing and visualization with my boys this weekend that I was coaching. And they said, Coach, when can we do that again? Because they were really present and they were really focused and they weren't afraid and they knew exactly what had to be done for the game. Okay? So get ready to take some notes because we're going to discuss how to overcome our fear of helping kids with the inner game, a quick breakdown of like what a session might look like for your team. And since we all coach the inner game anyway, usually picking up the pieces when it all goes south, why not learn how to be proactive about it, right? So let's dive right in with Lindsay Wilson. Lindsay, welcome back to the Way of Champions podcast.
Thanks, John. Nice to see you.
Oh, it's so good to see you again. So good to have you back on, and such an important time because we're going to be talking today about the inner game and mindset and the mental side of sport, which is so, so important. And I was thinking about us doing this podcast because last night I had practice and, you know, you had said something to me that, you know, when we help our kids overcome these mental challenges, it's often the most rewarding thing that we do as a coach, right?
So let's say you aren't doing a whole lot on the mental side, but you want to, which is, you know, I don't know how many percentage of your coaches are in that space, but these are the different phases and you can kind of go as deep as you want. Mm-hmm. I think the first thing is similar to what we just talked about is do something every day, some routines. So we teach the Braver, which is our pre-practice visualization exercise that people like because it's really simple. You could do something like that. You could do a visualization together. You could do a post-practice huddle or pre-practice huddle where you talk about mindset. You know, and other examples of this that a lot of us bake into our existing routines is like the pre-shot free throw routine or, you know, penalty kick routine or hitting routine. We have a lot of these sort of already baked in, but just doing more of them. Mm-hmm. And you can think of the natural breaks in your practice as really good opportunities to do this. Like we teach a mistake ritual or a reset mm-hmm. ritual that athletes do in game, but in practice, you know, as a basketball player, so you're doing it every water break. You're doing it in between drills. If you mess up on a drill, you're doing it on the sidelines. You know, thinking of the natural breaks where you can start implementing some of these routines that, again, easier to do things every day or every drill than it is to sort of sprinkle them in haphazardly. So I think that's really phase one. And what this does is this really normalizes that we work on the mindset. Right. Yeah. And that mindset is not something that you either have or you don't have. This is something that we're going to be going back to. And you know what? Some days you're going to be good at it. Some days you're going to suck. And that's true for all of us. I think the very act of making it a part of your practices tells your athletes that it's okay to struggle in this yeah. and it's okay to get better at this and it normalizes it.
Yeah. And what's really important to realize for coaches as well is that when you do it every day, it shifts from being something that becomes this conscious act, right? Working memory to like subconscious long-term mm-hmm. memory. So that ability to take a breath after a mistake that doesn't require a cue from the coach, right?
Totally.
To do that or cue up your mistake ritual or whatever, it starts to happen automatically. And when it starts to happen automatically, then your brain moves on to that next play, the next thing that you have to do, which is going to make you more effective player as well. And I think, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that the sort of underlying part of this, and this is by no means a panacea, mm-hmm. but, you know, we talk about like the mental challenges of some athletes and as coaches, sometimes coaches are the first line of defense and that sort of thing. And, you know, mental challenges or mental illness, not necessarily that extreme, but even just the struggling, mm-hmm. you know, component, I think that is when you are normalizing it and talking about it regularly and talking as a coach about your own struggles, it makes it easier for someone to then talk about it themselves.
Yeah.
Right. That they're not the weird person that can't handle the pressure. and has to raise their hand and say, I'm struggling. It kind of greases the skids on having those conversations a little bit more, to where you're not the, you're not the weird one out.
Yeah. You're not the weird one out. And also that this is okay. Mm-hmm. Because I think every coach knows, I have these kids who, they make a mistake and they just move past it and they're on to the next play. They miss a shot and they're going to take the next 10 and no one's going to tell them not to shoot. and then you have the kid who misses one shot and is afraid to shoot again. And totally. I think so many kids in basketball in particular who don't shoot, it's because someone yelled at them for shooting and missing when they were a little kid.
Yeah.
And so if we have these people in front of us, the kid who makes a mistake and then the game just spirals downhill from there, then you have to teach them tools, because it's not just fixing their technique, because it doesn't matter if you become a pro, you're going to make a mistake.
Totally.
Next. So you have to do this, right?
Totally. Like this is the work that so many coaches are in coaching for, right? Of course it's great if one of your athletes that you coach makes it to college or makes it to the pro, but like what you really want is the happy adult that looks back and thinks, you know what? I learned how to win. I learned how to lose. I learned how to make mistakes. I learned how to push myself. You know, all those things that we all love about sports. This is a way to make those lessons stronger, to give people more tools in their toolbox to get through this, because speaking of, the assistant coach talking about falling through the cracks, a lot of athletes fall through the cracks because they're not getting these tools. And then they look back, and a lot of them are becoming mindset coaches now, because they look back and they think, God, if I'd only learned how, breathing could have helped me, or learning that I didn't have to be so hard on myself, or, pick a mental challenge. So that's, I think, big
especially the kids on the end of the bench and the ones who don't play as
absolutely.
Much. And you need them to give their couple of minutes and be full focused and prepared and whatever. Those are the kids that need our attention as coaches. And those are the kids that sometimes don't get our attention in the tactical preparation. But if they're getting our attention on the mental game, and that's another way for you to connect with them and help them and be prepared, be ready to go. Your chance will come. Will you be prepared, or will you need 2 weeks to?
And that's the inner game that we talk about, right? Like that's the inner game. Like everybody can win the inner game. Everybody can.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're 4 foot tall trying to play basketball, you can win the inner game. It doesn't even mean you're ever going to play. You may not ever get off the bench. That's going to be your challenge, to win that inner game. And I think that's another way to normalize it and make that just an awesome challenge for everybody.
Yeah. One of the ways that you recommend people do mental training, I mean, we can do workshops, everything we've talked about, but journaling. And I think journaling is such a cool thing. So talk about that for a second, why that's so powerful.
Okay, so I think phase one, like I said, is the
maybe normalizing. Maybe I'm jumping ahead. Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. That's the next sort of step. So phase one is that normalizing it and the daily routine things. And I call those kind of the low-hanging fruit. Like everybody can do those.
Yeah.
Right? You pick something to do at beginning practice. You pick some things to do in the middle. You pick some things to do at the end. Like you're good. I think the next phase is increasing your athlete's self-awareness. And I think this would be more like having a workshop at the end of practice, even if it was just 15 minutes on Fridays. You know, when I work with a team, I talk about like doing weekly mental huddles. We have a course that our teams go through, but it doesn't even have to be that. Like every, we call mental Monday sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like every Monday, you sit down and you help your athletes work on the inner game. Mm-hmm. You help them learn to journal. You help them learn to build up that self-awareness. And I think this is sort of the next phase. This is takes a little bit more time, a little bit more preparation. But again, this isn't rocket science. You pick one day a week, maybe, and you do team journaling. You pick some journaling prompts and you start sort of exercising that muscle, because this is the stuff at every level. I mean, when you're younger, obviously, kids need to learn how to dribble. They need to learn how to do layups. But as you get older, like the mental component becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And if we can spend, 20 minutes helping them learn journaling, or learn visualization or breathing exercises. It's just so powerful. And again, it doesn't have to be some crazy thing. It's just a workshop on like a single topic having to do with mental training.
Yeah.
And then phase two, that would be.
And then, these routines as well, right? These little routines that, hey, we're just doing this every end, because how much time is wasted at the beginning of practice or things like that, where you could just, a minute, right? Eyes closed, breathing, a minute, mental checklist. Here we go, right? Jerry and I always teach just sort of, we call it the circle, right? And we circle up and we look at each other in the eyes, not in the age of COVID or the circle's giant now, but like, but you know, that huddle and that circle of just, okay, we're here. And it's this cue that practice has started. And it's this cue to get my brain here and not at school or with the boyfriend or the girlfriend or wherever else it could be, that this is now our time together. And just that little mental preparation to kind of wipe the slate clean and let's jump into practice. And it's powerful.
And so, I think those, and like you said in the beginning, like you can just kind of layer these things. You can start with the routines and the huddles, and then, you know, maybe then you add in one day a week, depend, you know, it depends what level you're coaching at, how much time you have with your athletes. But maybe the phase two is building up that self-awareness in them, empowering them that they have some answers inside them. And you start journaling, you know, they all get the spiral bound notebook maybe, and mental Mondays, you sit down and you do journaling, right? Like it doesn't have to be, you don't have to bring in a mental training expert. Like I would love to work with your team, although I'm not really doing that right now, but we have coaches that work with teams, right? And even some of them are over Zoom, and that's great if you can do it. And there's other ways to do it if you can't do that. And this is one way that anybody can do, and it's basically free.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Okay, then phase three, talk about phase three, learning actual tools. Yeah.
So we talked about normalizing it with the daily routines. We talked about increasing self-awareness with like a weekly mental workshop. And then phase three is what we teach in, we just developed a toolkit, a free toolkit. You can go to positiveperformancetraining.com where we actually teach coaches how to sit down and be a mindset coach. So this is called the Ultimate Mindset Coaching Toolkit. And we, like, if you wanted to be the mindset coach for your team, this is how you would do it, either individually with an individual athlete or within a team setting. And it's really basic. It's teaching them how to sit down and, again, sit down as a mindset coach for your team and have a structure. So you're going to introduce, maybe you tell your story, create some vulnerability. You're going to have them journal. You'll probably teach them something. We teach a lot of visualization, but it could also be something like breathing exercises or meditation or positive self-talk, pre, during, and post-competition routines. And again, this could be with a single athlete that's struggling, or it could be with your entire team. And having that sort of process, similar to going in and trying to, you know, have a lesson plan or something with a, you know, if you're a teacher, and a lot of people are teachers, and this would be a sit down workshop for solving one of these problems, but really kind of sitting in that mindset coaching chair. And I think this is where the rubber meets the road for a lot of, I mean, a lot of our coaches want to start mindset coaching businesses and make money as mindset coaches. But even if you don't, and you want to be that for your team, having a rough structure really helps you take yourself more seriously as a mindset coach, and your athletes take it more seriously.
Excuse me. This is what I liked about this little toolkit, because I think the vast majority of coaches they have their own business. They already have jobs. They've whatever. But I want to help my team. And this is why I think this is really cool. And they feel like overwhelming of, oh, the only way to help my team is to go get a degree in sports psychology or go through some huge certification process. And of course, that the more you do, the better you're going to be at it. But it doesn't mean you can't start until 2 years of education. Now, that also means, and this is, I think, an important distinction to make for people. You know, I have a friend who's a PhD in psychology in California, and he's like, you know, I there's so many life coaches out there who have no certification, no, like I have to be accredited, certified, licensed to do all these things because I have a PhD, but then everyone without a PhD doesn't need anything. And that's kind of a bad loophole. And so I think one of the biggest things that I know you would also advocate for is if you're a coach and you're doing anything or you're looking at any of your athletes and they don't seem right and it's mental, reach out. First to their parents, if you're in a school, call a counselor, because there are plenty of things where even, you know, a PhD in sports psychology who has the background to do this will still refer that person to a counselor whose specialty is depression or eating disorders or whatever. So when in doubt, make the phone call.
For sure. This is more, this is not for dealing with anxiety or depression or mental health issues. Yeah. This is for the athlete that's like, doesn't have confidence, that's struggling, that, you know, is scared of failure, that is sort of the really common things that we see every day. Mm-hmm. This is not for a mental health challenge at all, for sure. Even I've been doing this for, you know, 15 years and I'm very clear. If someone talks to me about their kid having anxiety, they need to go to a professional that has to deal with that. Yeah. So yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I can break down what that could actually look like, if that would be helpful.
Yeah, let's do that in a second. But I wanted to come back to one thing that you said.
Yes.
And that's this term self-talk. And I think it deserves unpacking a little more because 100% your most influential coach in your life is the voice in your head. Mm-hmm. And what that voice is saying to you in times of stress and times of challenge, which is shaped by your upbringing and your coaches and your parents and the life that you live. But that is the voice you will hear the most in your life. And how do we help athletes improve their self-talk?
There's a lot of ways, but I mean, we could do a whole podcast on this. I think one of the things that has been really helpful, for me right now, I think the first thing is that phase two of self-awareness.
Right.
There's a lot of chatter that I think most of us aren't aware of. So that's where journaling, I think it's so powerful, so simple, so free. Anybody can do it at any time. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really powerful tool, building up that self-awareness, because you can't change something that you don't see. So I think that's one of the biggest things. I think helping them understand, one of the things that we teach is, we call it the TARE process. A lot of people talk about, you know, how your thoughts lead to your actions, lead to your results, right? It's not anything that other people don't know. But what we teach is really helping them see that sort of self-fulfilling prophecy. So, you know, for example, if you have the thought that your coach hates you, right? Like your coach, that's my thought.
That's common,
that.
I think.
I know it is.
Amongst my players. No, I'm joking. No, but yeah.
That leads to an emotion, right? That is dejected, probably unmotivated, which leads to your action, which is maybe not show up fully for practice, not push yourself, hold back just a little bit, which leads to the result of not playing probably, or not getting the result that you want. And that always reinforces our thought. Mm-hmm. And our brain really likes that. We don't like that.
Right.
We want the great result. We want to get in the game, but our brain really likes our thought lining up with the result that we have.
Yeah.
So I think that sort of exercise can be really helpful because you can kind of go through the opposite, right? Like if you believe that your coach is hard on you because they believe in you, that leads to an emotion of being motivated, and which leads to you actually showing up, maybe even working harder than you thought you could, which leads to the result of probably eventually playing more, which reinforces the thought that your coach was right.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I think is a really powerful exercise because you can directly see that your thoughts lead to your results.
Mm-hmm. And asking yourself right off the bat in terms of self-awareness, is this thought helping me? Right? Like how would the thought, my coach hates me, ever help me perform better. Mm-hmm. Right. It's just, it becomes this excuse for not doing well. Totally. Or like you said, this self-fulfilling prophecy. Okay. So I interrupted you there before. We're going to kind of talk about, you know, breaking down like a session, like what a coach might do to start doing some of this stuff in their practice.
Yeah. So let's say one of your athletes is struggling with confidence, right? Yeah. They're a great player. You see a ton of potential, but they're really struggling with confidence. And again, this is broken down in this toolkit that's on our website. But I'm just going to show you how, like, if I was sitting in the mindset coaching chair with this athlete, what it would do or what I would do. So I think the first thing is really making it a thing. Like we talked about in the toolkit, like having a sit down session. It doesn't mean they're in trouble. Maybe it's scheduling it over Zoom right now, but it's like, you're having an actual time. It's not just like, you know,
it's beaten into us, right? You know, Miss Wilson, come to the principal's office, you know, it's like, oh God, what did I do wrong?
Yeah. So I think you have to set it up correctly, but talk, you know, you can even say like, I'm working on being a mindset coach and I'd like to take you through a guided visualization, you know, yeah. and have like a thing. Right. And so the intro time of like setting it up, I think is really important. And I think that's a place where coaches have a tremendous opportunity to use their stories. So like for me, when I'm working with an athlete that's struggling with confidence, I talk a lot about how I almost quit when I was 16. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really diving into that story and being vulnerable and really showing them that I'm a human being and I've struggled with this stuff. I think that's a great opportunity for coaches to connect. And then giving them something to do. So I typically will do that free writing journaling. And free writing is, I give some rules, but some they keep the pen moving the entire time.
Right.
They don't stop. And, you know, I think a lot of people, that's like a really big part of effective journaling is not stopping. And so I give them a little catchphrase that they can actually write out if they stop, because otherwise they're editing themselves and they're using their conscious brain and they're, you know, assuming you've told them that they're not going to be sharing this, it's just for them. I think that's an important part of journaling as well. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to be grammatically correct. And so really giving them that space to dive into their real inner feelings. And we give a lot of journal prompts. There's a lot online, of course. So giving them that self-awareness time. And then based on, so they would be struggling with confidence, right? So based on that, I almost always, when I'm first working with someone, is do guided visualization. And in this toolkit, I give a script. And I love visualization because it's such a powerful tool. Anybody can do it, especially when it's guided. It's really easy. You just close your eyes and follow along. And with a script, you know, if you've never done guided visualization, you really just read it. And it's not something they're going to be great at in the beginning, of course, but it's something that anybody can do. And it's a very, you know, some people, it's hard for them at first to get their minds to stop, you know, jumping around and all those sorts of things, but it's a very tangible tool. A lot of people can feel those shifts inside. And at the very least, they're connecting with themselves on a deep level, breathing, slowing down, you know, trying to turn off the noise. And so that sort of thing. So that would be sort of the lesson or technique that I would teach. So we have, again, the intro where I'm being vulnerable and telling my story. I have an exercise for them in their journaling, and then I give them some tool. And then after that, we would reflect, and then I'd give them some assignment to do. And it doesn't have to be big. It could be, you know, in the next practice, I want you to, maybe I'd give them a confidence, powerful self-talk statement that anytime they make a mistake, they say it and then text me after practice, right? It doesn't have to be some big thing, but giving them some sort of follow-up that they're going to check in with me, you know, the next day or the day after. Or maybe I have them journal for the next week for 10 minutes a day. But giving them something solid, homework, if you will, you might not want to use the term, but something to sort of round out that experience. So again, we're not just being the de facto mindset coach with the after practice talk that is, you know, well-intentioned but may not have any teeth to it.
Right.
This gives a more of a substance that they can really move forward with.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it can be as simple as write write one word that describes you at your best and write it on the back of your hand and show up with
totally.
It the next day, right? This is not
totally
a massive thing where you've got to go, you know, buy all this stuff.
No. Exactly. You know?
And yeah, my teenager's hands are always covered with nonsensical writing all day long. So I'm just like, write something that might help there, right? Relax.
Yeah, exactly.
Breathe, right?
Yeah.
Confident. Totally. Whatever. Yeah.
Totally. No, it's a great one. Yeah. And I think this structure and this toolkit is, it just makes it more of a thing. Again, mm-hmm. in the same way, like you can go and dink around in the weight room and make some progress, but you have a structure and you have a warm up and you have your sets and your reps and you have a cool down, you're going to make more progress. And it's going to be easier for you because you're going to, and easier for them because they're going to know this sort of cadence of work. And so it kind of rounds out again, some of the things you may be doing already. You might not be doing guided visualizations for your athletes. But some of these things you may be doing already, but putting them in a framework, I think helps, again, it gives it a little bit more teeth.
Yeah. And let's face it, our athletes, regardless of age, are pretty much connected to their devices. And so like one of the things that I've done for my teams is just record a guided visualization for them mm-hmm. and make it generic enough that it can be used every game. And, you know, instead of saying, you know, we're wearing blue today, it's like, picture your uniform. What are you wearing? What does it look like mm-hmm. outside? What are the smells? What do you hear? And I just record it. And I'm like, put that on your phone, put that on your device and in on the bus, on the van, right before whatever, just listen to it. It's just a couple minutes and just listen to it and breathe and then show up in the right state of mind. And a lot of them, you know, some like, yeah, thanks, no thanks. But some are like, wow, it's mm-hmm. super helpful for me right now.
We do a whole certification in our certification for visualization because it is such a powerful tool. And so many of our coaches use that with their clients and yeah, then record it and then you can just send it to them and they have it all the time. But yeah, I think, you know, just being able to read a script and, you know, even something as simple as if you're working with an individual athlete, you have this script and then you say their name. Right. And it's that connection. Their eyes are closed. They're relaxed. They're not, you know, there's no outside stimulation. They feel special. They feel seen. They get to connect with themselves on a deep level. You know, it's all good stuff. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not hard to do and not everybody can do it. I'm talking about coaches that have some experience, mm-hmm. you know, but are showing up every day already and have this connection to this athlete. This just takes it to another level. In a way that I think is really manageable. It's free. And let's face it, a lot of these coaches are doing this work already. And a lot of it is reactive because no one's taught them how to be the mindset coach, but they end up being it.
mm-hmm. What do you say to the coaches who say to you, oh, this is great, but I've got 30 kids on my team. I can't do 30 individual meetings like this.
Well, I mean, you could do this with a team, right?
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
I think that's a simple way to is, you know, if you're, you know, you think about your team that you talked about in the beginning, if you wanted to do a session where you have the intro, you have that journaling self-reflective time, you do some guided visualization about them finding joy, like, you know, like we talked about, go to the field that you played on when you were a little kid and you love playing soccer and you didn't worry about the score and, you know, smell the grass and you're like there and they're there. You can easily do this in a generic way. And then you give an assignment, maybe you do record it and you have them listen to it the next week and before your next game. Mm-hmm. So this is really, that's a nice thing about this toolkit, I think, is it's really malleable. You can do it for any challenge. You can do it for any size group. You can do it for yourself if you really wanted to. And we have a lot of people, I'm like, just practice with your mom. When I started being mindset coach and I started learning hypnosis, I was like, hey, mom, you want to do a relaxation hypnosis, you know? And so I think a lot of this is just getting your feet wet and having that growth mentality that, you know, we're talking about coaches that have some experience, that have some passion for helping young people. Let's give them some structure. And then it's about practicing.
Yeah, exactly. And you can, you know, and if you love this, right, you can take the plunge and go further and learn more and get certified. But every Absolutely. One of us is capable of implementing some of these basic things and doing it, and it helps. And I've seen it over and over, as have you, how mm-hmm. helpful this is, how freeing it is, how it gets people back to their roots and just playing, and starts to weed out the parental expectations, the coach expectations, the societal expectations to be perfect, and just lets them get back to the pure essence of play, which is really when we play our best.
Yeah. And I think, you know, depending on what age you're coaching, how often you have your athletes, how much time you have, I think, you know, that's why we have those three phases. Not everybody has the time to sit down and do a full workshop that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. But you can certainly do those, that first phase of, you know, normalizing the mindset and work and the inner game work and get some routines in place. And if you have a little bit more time, or maybe that's even next year, you start doing a mental Monday and you start doing a workshop where everybody journals every week. And then maybe then you go into phase three and you can do, you know, sit as a mindset coach and really teach them a tool like visualization or something like that. Mm-hmm. And everybody's going to be able to find their own way. But I think for a lot of this stuff, it's simpler. It doesn't mean it's necessarily easy, but it's simpler than a lot of people think. And it takes just the intention to do it. And then, you know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. That's my job. That's your job.
Right.
You know, you find somebody that has done this and you use the framework.
Yeah.
You know, and then you just do it. And we don't have to overthink it. We don't have to come up with some brand new, you know, original methodology. We just follow the script. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be far better than dinking around, you know, throwing spaghetti against the wall, which is what a lot of people do and a lot of us do when we're first starting. And you'll just make progress so much faster if you can just kind of borrow what other people are doing and move forward. I think that's the most important thing, is take action.
Yeah.
You know, implement this. And I think, again, versus trying a bunch of different things, try one thing.
Right.
Do, you know, and stick to it and do it every day if you can, or every week, or get some sort of structure and routine to it, so your athletes know what to expect, that you know what to expect, and it's not every week we're doing something different. And I think that's a big part of it too, and that's where these frameworks and structures can be really helpful. I think it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I don't think any coach out there can reasonably look at the evidence and say the inner game doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And I think during a season we can get 1% gains technically and tactically and physically if our athletes are at the top. But I really think the mental side is where we can make big gains. And even at the professional level, it still is ignored a lot by people.
Yeah.
And so 100%, these tools are incredibly important. Lindsay, I want you to just give us websites, give us how people can connect with you. And then I'll give you the last word.
Sure. Yeah. So let's see. I'm on Instagram at Lindsay Positive Perform. And as you mentioned, The Inner Game, that's my podcast, and it's a daily podcast for people that want to work on their mindset. And, you know, we definitely have the athlete and coach sort of mindset with that. Mm. But it's about a 5-minute daily mindset. And, you know, the goal with that really is to help coaches really live this stuff, as we talked about in the beginning, you know, put the podcast on, listen, and do your inner work yourself. So that's called The Inner Game. And then, as I mentioned, the Ultimate Mindset Coaching Toolkit is a breakdown of that last phase that I talked about, being able to sit down as a mindset coach and take someone through a mindset coaching session, whether you want to get certified and start a business or not. It's certainly a lot of the people that download it are aimed at starting their business, but you certainly don't have to. You can just sit in that mindset coaching chair and then know what to do. And so that's on our website at positiveperformancetraining.com. Mm-hmm. There'll be a big banner at the top that you can get that for free, which is nice. And then we have an 8-day challenge coming up if any of your listeners are interested in becoming a mindset coach, where we take people through 8 foundational pieces to building their business. So that's on our website as well.
Cool. Well, they can sign up and do that after this comes out for sure. Excellent. So many great tools here that we covered, so many more when we were laying out this podcast and what we wanted to talk about. There were so many topics, and hopefully for a lot of our listeners, we picked a really good one and have given people the confidence that, hey, I can do this. I can start this. I can get it going. But any last words, last thoughts that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I think it's just, you know, taking a moment to really appreciate you, the listener, as far as, you know, coaches are doing the good work, you know, showing up for your athletes. And I know that it takes a lot out of coaches. And that's part of, I think, a lot of my motivation is I see a lot of coaches get burnout and they give their heart, their soul. And, you know, they're so driven to help young people. And if I can help even one of them just do that a little bit easier and maybe a little bit better, hopefully, and just take some of that weight off so that you can free yourself up to just keep giving. I think that's what motivates me a lot. But I think also just acknowledging, especially now in this craziness with that school and for some school and all this COVID stuff, you know, sports is changed my life. I know a lot of people it changed their lives, and we wouldn't be anywhere without coaches. So all of you that are listening can give yourselves a big pat on the back, and you have my never ending appreciation for what you do.
Yeah. Amen to that. Great thought to end on. Lindsay, thank you so much for being back on the Way of Champions. Again, anyone, if you missed the first time we had Lindsay on, it's episode 112. And we covered a lot of different ground today. So they both go really, really well together. So thanks for being on. Best of luck with all your programs and all the work that you're doing. And I'm a huge fan, and I always enjoy our phone calls and the times that we touch base in between podcasts.
Absolutely, John. Thank you so much. It's always great to connect.
Yeah.
Coaches, I hope you found that interesting. So here's the top three takeaways from this interview. Do something every day to impact mindset. And Lindsay does something she calls the braver. They visualize together what they want to accomplish that day, whether it's a game or a practice. And she says that this just normalizes working on mindset. Then here's the second takeaway, resetting the mental routine after a mistake. And it really starts with breathing, followed by a short statement an athlete makes after they make a mistake. The short statement is created for that specific athlete and is something that resonates with them. Then here's the third takeaway, controlling self-talk is critical. Self-talk can be either positive or negative, and for most people, it's negative, but it doesn't have to be. And here's the action step. Do something every day to impact mindset with your team. Try the technique of visualizing together what you want to happen that day, right before a practice or a game. Lindsay says this normalizes working on mindset. Now let's listen to John Gordon and the power of choice.
We have the power of choice. And so you want to make sure that you are choosing wisely each day. What are you choosing? What choices are you making? Every choice matters. When I get up in the morning, right? When I'm writing a book, I've written now 24 books, right? I didn't even know I could write a book. People ask me all the time if I have a ghostwriter. I get asked that so much, I must not look smart enough to write a book. But every morning I get up, what happens is I have a choice when I'm writing a book. Am I going to check my cell phone? Am I going to get on social media? Am I going to read my email? Or am I going to write first thing? If I get an email, I get on social media, I can't write, I'm done for the day. If I keep that aside and I sit down and I start writing, next thing you know, I'm writing word after word, page after page. And eventually within about 3.5 to 4 weeks of that devotion, of that discipline, of choosing wisely, of staying positive through the process, I will at the end of that have a book, 24 books. They've sold 5 million copies. I don't tell you that to be impressed with me because I'm not impressive. I tell you that because every day I make that choice and I can look back and realize those choices have become the life that I now live, the life that I now enjoy, that I am speaking to you as a result of the choices I made every day, the lonely work of sitting in a dark room, right, in 6 a.m. and getting up and writing a book each day and not allowing those distractions to keep me from being my best. That's what matters most, guys. Being your best every day, devoting yourself to the craft and choosing wisely, knowing that the habits you create now, the things you do today will be the life you create in the future, the success you enjoy. And it starts now. It starts with being your best for yourself, and it starts with being your best for your team. That's about choosing wisely.
So coaches, here's a couple of takeaways from this interview with John Gordon. You have to control your attention. You can do good things or bad things at the start of your day to impact your mindset for the day. Your morning routine is going to set the thoughts that are coming into your head. Choosing to get on social media to start the day keeps you from being your best. Here's a second takeaway. The habits you create produce your results. So create good habits. And the takeaway this week is very simple, just what we said. Avoid social media to start your day. Until next time, hook 'em.